eco-conscious friends, and welcome to Planet Earth, our loving home. Water is indispensable for the survival of humans and all other beings on Earth. And although 3/4 of the planet's surface is covered in water, 97% of it is salt water. Thus, fresh water comprises just 3% of the supply, and only 1% of that is directly available to meet human needs. In recent decades, due to over-exploitation, prolonged droughts caused by climate change and environmental degradation, such as water pollution by factory farms, an increasing number of Earth's residents are experiencing severe water shortages.
There are only 10 countries in the world out of the 200 have got a significant water surplus. It's the water from them that keeps the rest of us going.
We have an increase in population by 3 billion or so from year 2000 to year 2050.
From August 16th to 22nd, 2009, experts, key decision makers, leaders, and practitioners from around the world gathered for the World Water Week Conference in Stockholm, Sweden. The event was organized by the Stockholm International Water Institute, a nonprofit policy think tank, to discuss our planet's most urgent water-related issues. One product of the conference was the consensus document, the Stockholm Statement, which urges governments to address water issues at the upcoming climate change summit in Copenhagen.
What I can say is clearly this, that the stress on water resources is increasing tremendously, and the stress is increasing especially in developing countries.
On today's program, we'll hear some of the conference's distinguished attendees express their views on the global water crisis. Jan Lundqvist, senior scientific advisor to the Stockholm International Water Institute, studies how societies choose to use planetary resources, and is an expert on the links between water use and food production.
Dr. Patak from India, he mentioned yesterday that there are 2.5 billion people queuing up for toilets, which are not there. So the lack of sanitation facilities, that's a huge problem. But also 1.5 billion who don't have access or easy access to water. They have to go to a river, they have to go to a small water pond or something like that. Maybe spend many hours per day to fetch a small amount of water, you know. Sometimes polluted, sometimes they have troubles to going there. The water shortage is affecting quite a large part of the world, but then also what we call water services. I mean that you have water in your house,
yes,
or you get water in the tap, so to speak. That is a luxury for a large part of the world. And then even a larger part of the world, they don't have access to safe sanitation.
The United Nations Development Program recognizes that climate change is driving prolonged droughts and water shortages, along with precipitation-related disasters such as cyclones and floods around the world.
I work for UNDP, United Nations Development Program, and we have a special department working with water resources, and it's called the Water Governance Program. Now, the main mission that we have is towards sustainable human development, which means the sustainable utilization also of the world's resources. And we're trying to promote a more sustainable way of managing water resources, including the use of water in production and in consumption.
The Third World Water Development Report by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, reveals that around 70% of all freshwater used goes to irrigated agriculture, and a staggering amount of that is consumed by the livestock industry. One serving of beef requires 4,664 liters of water to produce, while an entire vegan meal only requires 371 liters. Thus, livestock raising is an extremely inefficient way to use food and water. Approximately 85% of the world's soybean production and 43% of all cereal production are diverted to animal agriculture.
We feel that it is very important in terms of food security and for future livelihoods that the current irrigation system be reformed because of the growing population and because of climate change and so many other factors. It is very important that irrigation undergoes a vital change in order to meet future food security needs.
The amount of water that is being used in the irrigated system means that we are taking water from the rivers or from the groundwater or from the lakes, and that water could have been used in urban areas or in industry or in households. So it means that we have a competition for that water. So irrigated agriculture is then very different from the rain-fed systems.
The reason that food is so important in water management is that each of us needs 90% of the water that we use each day for our food. Most people have no idea of that, but that's the position. We need about 5% or 6 or 7% for the water we use at home, and the tiny amount for drinking, and then more for flushing the toilet.
When we return, we'll hear more from the knowledgeable 2009 World Water Week Conference participants. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
Vegetarian diet does take less water than a diet which is of meat.
Welcome back to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, on Supreme Master Television. The 2009 World Water Week Conference, sponsored by the Stockholm International Water Institute, was held in August 2009 in Stockholm, Sweden. The theme of the event was Responding to Global Changes, Accessing Water for the Common Good. Reflecting this idea, many attendees with whom we spoke noted how our food choices significantly affect global water supplies.
A large part of the water that is used in connection with food production goes into the production of meat, dairy products. So generally speaking, if we look upon the amount of water that is used to produce a certain amount of kilocalories, the energy contents of food items, we require maybe some 5 to 8 times more water to produce the animal calorie as compared to if we would be satisfied with vegetarian type of food items like cereals or coarse grain or grain products. So there's a big difference in terms of the amount of water that is used to produce different types of food items.
Professor John Anthony Allen of King's College London, UK, received the prestigious 2008 Stockholm Water Prize from the Stockholm International Water Institute for developing the concept of virtual water, which allows for comparison of food and consumer goods with respect to how much water went into their production.
The food water is the big water. If you can manage that water more effectively, or change the sort of food we eat, each of us just in an industrial or office job just needs a couple of cubic meters a year for our food. If we are a non-vegetarian, if we eat a lot of meat, we need 5 cubic meters a day, not a year, 5 a day. Or if we're a vegetarian, it's just 2.5. So with these stark numbers, it's quite clear that the easiest way to save half the water, there's nothing as effective in managing water demand as changing the way we eat for the better, because if the people that eat too much meat ate less of it, their health would be better and the environment would be better.
The dietary patterns are extremely important, because we know that it requires such a tremendous amount of water to produce beef compared to vegetarian food.
Diverting Earth's invaluable water supplies into producing animal products is exacerbating world hunger.
When we talk about how much water is used to produce meat, dairy products, it's important to note that roughly 40% of the cereals, I mean rice, wheat, barley, whatever, is used for feed. So we are converting quite a large part of the what could be eaten directly into animal products. You also have to consider the fact that currently in the world, where we have 1 billion people who are undernourished, we have 1.4 billion people who are overweight, and we have about 400 million people who are obese.
In the water management world, we talk all the time about demand management, about getting farmers to use water more efficiently, to treat water and get it put back into the system. So we are always thinking of technical ways of doing it, but the best behavioral way, through social instruments, getting people to behave more sensibly, will have a much better and quicker impact if we can achieve it.
Vegetarianism is key to preserving Earth's precious water resources.
We need consumers to be eating sensibly, and they'll do that if they have some information which helps them to do it. We need that message to get into government, and we need it also to get into the markets, to the corporations, because the corporations use advertising to manipulate us to eat more meat. So we need to do the very thing of getting corporations to feel that their reputation depends on doing the right thing by society.
Professor Allen notes that each of us can make a difference in helping preserve our planet by following a vegetarian diet.
Regarding what we eat, it's very important that we understand that we have a big impact on the planet and on the animal community by what we eat. And so one could easily say, be veg, go green, save the planet. And another way of saying that is down from 5 to 2.5, because since we eat, if we eat a non-vegetarian diet, it's 5 cubic meters a day. If we're a veggie, it's just 2.5. Down from 5 to 2.5 also rings quite well.
We'd like to thank all our interviewees for sharing their views on promoting water conservation, and we applaud and support them and the other noble individuals around the world who are working to ensure that future generations have sufficient water to meet their needs. For more information on the World Water Week, please visit www.worldwaterweek.org. Thank you for your kind company on today's edition of Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May we all be embraced by the love and light of heaven.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE.